call me in order at this time. Do a roll call.
Tom Bedlack? David Byers?
Here.
Peter Graves?
Yeah, I'm here.
Dan Mazzola? Michael Palicki? David L. Stevens?
Here.
Morgan Reed?
Here.
J.R. Sloan?
Here.
Michael Jeans? Senator Shooter? Richard Stadniak?
Rebecca Cabrera here for Richard.
Representative Stevens?
Here.
Okay, for our first item, provide a couple of updates. So my name is J.R. Sloan, and I've been appointed to be the chair of the committee moving forward at this point. So I'll be happy to help lead the sessions facilitate going forward. Also, a new face for folks here is Morgan Reed, who's now the state CIO. Welcome to Morgan. With that, are there any other follow-up items or notes that anyone wanted to bring up for the last meeting?
Who just joined?
Dan Zola just joined.
Hi, Dan. Okay, if there's no other cleanup from the last meeting, we'll move on to review the minutes. Anyone have any feedback or edits of the minutes from the last meeting? If not, I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
So I move that the minutes be approved as presented.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And I opposed?
Aye.
Okay, first up, we have Department of Corrections with radio replacement.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is James Dean. I'm one of the ADOA Asset Oversight Program managers who assisted Arizona Department of Corrections with this pitch. I'll let these individuals from Department of Corrections introduce themselves.
Dwight Cloud, CIO.
Brian Rogers, Radio Services Manager.
Laura Bowden, IT Project Management Office Manager.
In the meeting packet, you'll have seen that ADC is proposing to begin the replacement of radio communication subscriber equipment throughout all locations, starting with the items which are beyond their useful life of 7 to 10 years. The project presented is the first year in cost and a multi-year phased approach. Asset is recommending the pitch be approved with conditions which we can review after the presentation. But at this time, I'll turn it over to Corrections to present additional information regarding the proposed solution as well as answer any questions that you may have.
Okay, the problem is the Motorola series that we're using currently was discontinued in November of 2014 last year. So we're a year past any kind of support. We're having trouble getting parts, replacement parts. We're kind of Frankensteining units together to get good working radios, and which is, of course, a problem in a security environment. Our maintenance costs is therefore increased because of the amount of time that we're handling. So our proposal, our solution is to replace one third of our 10,000 handhelds this next year and do it in a 3-year phased approach, one third a year for the next 3 years. It's $3.6 million what we're asking for. Well, it includes the radio, the charger, a battery, and a belt holder as a bundle price. Okay. So we've tested these at each of our prisons to make sure that they work, and then we've met the requirement of being interoperable with all other agencies in the state, so it fits that need there. And I believe that's it. Any questions?
I didn't take nearly long enough trying.
I can talk fast.
Two slides, really.
I'll try harder.
So this is Peter Graves. These radios I use, when you said the interoperability, it's the repeaters and so forth are all what you're considering when you're saying that?
Yes, and with other agencies.
Okay. Yeah. And with other, okay.
Yes, GPS. Thank you. Standards, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
The numbers in the page only reflect year one, so will there be additional pages coming forward, so we're just approving the first year?
That's correct.
Any other questions?
That's interesting. Why would we just do one a year? What was that slide, a three-year? You're going to mark on the project, you're going to replace them all over a period of time?
Yes.
So you want to come back and do a page each time for a basic rating replacement?
Well, there's an appetite for, I guess I should be letting you speak for that, but or do we have an appetite to be able to handle replacement all at the same time?
Oh, we've been doing it over 3 years, right?
Doing it over 3 years, yeah.
I can actually fill this in a little bit. Generally, when something happens with this instance, it would be $10.8 million, which would also require, per legislation, third-party oversight. So the condition that's written as is, which I'll read a little bit later, is stating that instead of having to come back to ITAC for another approval, because it is a simple radio replacement, that you would just allow the pitch to be amended, and then ASSET would go ahead and approve it moving forward. Because it's low risk, it's purchasing of radios. We're trying to limit the amount of effort they would have to come back to ITAC, so on and so forth, as well as breaching that $5 million. We're working to understand perhaps if DPS could be a third-party entity so that we do not have to spend money. Additional funds for a third-party review of a $10 million project is just to replace radios.
Any further discussion? If not, the chair will entertain a motion for approval.
I have to read the conditions.
I'll do the conditions.
Okay, so as noted in the action item, so ASSET's recommended the following conditions be applied for approval. As part of its final deployment plan, in order to standardize and increase interoperable communications throughout the state, ADC must ensure that new subscriber units are programmed in accordance with Arizona's statewide interoperable channel plan. Priority programming guides, which are available, list the website, azpsic.gov, and the rest of the information. The second condition, should funding become available to proceed with additional phases of the planned radio replacement program, ADC must amend the PIDs to reflect the changes in the proposed cost, technology, scope of work, and implementation schedule, and submit the PIDs to ADOA ASSET for review and approval prior to further expenditure of funds, unless otherwise requested by the Information Technology Committee, ITAC. So that's what we're stating. If you would like them to come back when they do the rest, we can. However, we wanted to limit that based upon the risk of the project, and it's just purchasing radios.
Any question or discussion on the conditions as stated?
I'd move approval for the effort of the radio replacement project with the two conditions as listed.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? No. Okay, the motion carries.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Okay, next up we have Harvard Health. Next item on the agenda is Department of Health Services Electronic Death Registration System.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, it's still me. I'm one of the oversight program managers that also assisted with the Arizona Department of Health Services in this pre-pitch. I'll let these individuals from DHS introduce themselves.
I'm Paula Mattingly, Chief Information Officer.
Crystal Colburn, Bureau Chief for the Bureau of Vital Records.
I'm Marcy Fleming, I'm the Project Manager.
In the meeting packet, you'll have seen that ADHS is proposing to issue a solicitation to implement a new mortality surveillance and tracking application to replace the current aging system, which was implemented in 2008. Assets also recommending the prepage be approved with conditions, which we can review after the presentation. But this time, I'll turn it over to DHS to present any additional information regarding the proposed solution, as well as answer any questions that you may have.
So today we're going to just briefly walk through the business problem, the solutions we've kind of looked at, the proposed solution and timeline, financial highlights, risks, and summary. So as the Department of Health in the state, we provide actually the systems for vital records for the state's use, and that includes counties, funeral homes, medical examiners, and recently body organ donation facilities. So there's about 2,500 users of this system, and then the volumes that have been going through that, you can see 52,000 deaths in 2014 and 654 fetal deaths. Our business issue is that we implemented our current solution in 2008. It's cumbersome, not easy to use, not easy to train on, not totally integrated, and there's some technical infrastructure things that are outdated. There are performance issues. We had really pretty bad performance issues when we initially implemented it. We've worked through a lot of those, but we still experience performance issues probably about once a week. And then we have some new requirements, the biggest one probably being to accept web orders from people. Today you have to physically go in or mail in, and so we want to open the ability to do this on the web. So we've looked a little bit. We've traveled to several states. We went to Oregon, Illinois, New Jersey, looked at what they were using. One was using a homegrown system, and then the other two were vendor systems. So we looked kind of at that, talked to them about what the costs were, how they liked it, saw some of those systems. When we did those travels, we included a couple county people, because they're big users of the system, and had some opinion, and we wanted them to weigh into that. So what we'd like to do is do an RFP, looking for a web-based system that will do these functions: register deaths, issue certificates, amend death records, and then we have several data exchanges that we do with various Social Security and some other public health statistics organizations, and we need the capability to do that. We talked about web orders, and we're kind of open to whether a vendor would host this solution or we would host it on our own gear here. Proposed timeline, we'd like to release for bid soon, award first part of the year, do several months depending on how much development needs to be done, and we are targeting a rollout by mid-year next year. Development costs, we are anticipating $1.5 to $2.5 million. This is a hard number to determine because of the various product costs and then how much customization we do. We haven't really done that level of research to understand the costs other than that ballpark. Couple risks: if it's not finished by that date, we would need to secure funding for another fiscal year, and then system integration, data migration may be difficult. We need to plan for time for that. So in summary, we'd like to acquire a fully functional, electronic, integrated, sustainable system, and have something that's reliable and secured running in an environment. Questions?
Yes. On your services, have you considered the veteran services, like VAD, FAST, DEERS, for getting death records?
No.
Integrated with them?
Can you explain your question?
I'm going through that process right now, so I'm going to ask you. I made probably 9 phone calls the last 2 days. It'd be nice to be able to go to one spot and have it all kind of done. But I was wondering if you considered doing veteran services on that also.
You looked at veteran services?
No.
No.
Because there's probably 4 or 5 different places you have to go to if you're a veteran or a spouse of a veteran when you pass away.
Huh, I didn't know that.
I can give you my
details. You have the gory details?
It's not a happy place to go.
Yeah. Okay, we'll look into that.
On web orders, have you considered how you're going to identify who's requesting the order? Can I go in and buy everybody's death certificate?
No. So in Arizona, sorry, did you want
to? No, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. In Arizona, we do have eligibility requirements that need to be met in order for an individual to be able to acquire that certificate, whether it be birth or death. And so there is technology, I don't know if you've experienced it in other systems, where they can verify your identity through an identity verification process. So depending on the response that we get from the RFP, we'll determine what technology is used to verify that person's identity to ensure eligibility.
Is there a source of data you're going to identify with?
Some of the vendors...
Like voter registration uses ADOT records. Is there one spot you're going to go?
So some of the vendors that we learned about and looked into when we were doing the research with the other states, they use a company that the parent company is LexisNexis, if you've heard of them, and they have their sources that they use for that identity verification process.
So you're not looking at using a state source?
Well, if it's using LexisNexis, it is using a state source.
So we're contracted with them?
They purchase records through the motor vehicle records request system.
Okay. So it's ADOT records then?
Yeah, it's ADOT records.
Okay. The system you got now, was that developed in-house in 2007?
No, it was developed by a vendor.
Is that Gold system?
Yes.
Okay. Are you looking for a specific platform to go to, or is that up to the vendor you're RFPing?
We are not. We're looking at what vendors have. We don't have any technical requirements.
Okay. I have a question. Your research in the systems in the various places you visited, did you come to a conclusion that you think there's an off-the-shelf product that meets most of the requirements, or are you still open to whether it's going to be a full ground-up build or a combination of off-the-shelf and some customization?
There looks to be products that meet the need in the marketplace, meet it fairly well. There may be some customizations that we need to do. We've looked at developing it in-house, but we really want to see if there isn't a product that would meet our needs, as long as it's affordable.
Are any of the offerings you're looking at available software as a service through a subscription model, or?
That
may come out in your RFP process, whether that's an option.
Yeah.
Okay.
Paul, did I hear you correctly that you spoke with local counties and medical examiner offices to get their feedback about how this could improve their processes?
Yes, they have been participating both when we traveled and in the development of an RFP to make sure that it includes
their requirements. There'd be substantial improvement, and I know well welcomed if you can get the right product offering for sure.
Right. Yeah, some of them offer kiosks and some self-service stuff, and so there's things like that in the RFP that the county offices in particular are interested in.
Okay, thank you.
So you're going to do an RFP, so you're not locked into even a budget yet, I take it, because that looked like an awful lot of money for a software product that narrow. And I'm looking at a lot of different products and going to lead and out of another group, and it's got to be 40 or 50 times as complicated. Feature rich to that for the same price. I was struck by how much, where are you coming up with the 1.5 to 2.5 million for something that narrow?
That was in talking to some of these states that we visited with the products they're using, yes. Actually, it sounds pretty easy, but it's more complicated than it sounds.
That's true. Comparatively, that seems pretty simple for an automation project. But,
yeah.
Well, I guess it'll come out in the RFP.
Any other questions or discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. As noted in the action item, ASSET has recommended the following condition be applied to the pitch approval, or the pre-pitch approval. ADHS may proceed to issue a request for proposal for a new electronic death registration system. However, may not award a contract or expend funds until an updated PID reflecting the selected approach, final budgeted cost, scope of work, technology, and implementation schedule has been submitted to ADOA ASSET and ITAC for review and approval.
Any questions on the condition?
Motion to approve the condition.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Who was that? Dan?
Is that Dan?
That is great. It's Peter, sorry.
It's Peter.
Okay.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Motion carried forward.
Thank you.
Okay, next item on our agenda is Department of Revenue, covering private fraud prevention investigation services.
Great. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Jeffrey Crane. I am one of the ADOA ASSET oversight program managers who assisted the Arizona Department of Revenue in this pitch. And I am joined here by members of the Department of Revenue, and I'll go ahead and let them introduce themselves.
I'm Jonathan Edwards. I'm the Acting Chief Information Officer.
Jan Swim, Business Process Analyst.
I'm Vivek Chaudhary, IT Project Manager.
Great. And Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, a pre-pitch for the Private Fraud Prevention Investigation Services Project was approved by ADOA ASSET with conditions on July 24th, 2015. In order for ADOR to issue an RFP for fraud detection inspection services, which was mandated by SB 1469, which dictated the appropriation of FY 15 and 16 funds to this service. ADOR has since completed its evaluation of the RFP responses, determined a preferred approach, and completed its evaluation of the RFP responses, and submitted an updated full PIDG as per the condition placed on the pre-PIDG approval. ASSET is recommending that this PIDG be approved with conditions, which we can review after the presentation. And given state procurement rules surrounding active solicitations, an executive session may be required for DOR to present the PIDG and supporting information in order to obtain ITAC approval for the project to proceed. And at this point, I will turn the time over to DOR to present additional information regarding the proposed solution and answer any questions that you may have.
Okay. So the things I'll be going over is the business problem, the legislative requirements, what we went through for the selection process through the RFP and the R evaluations, our conceptual design diagram, the project benefits and risks, milestones, and the projected costs. Right now, we have we've seen over the last decade a large increase in fraud coming into the Arizona tax system, coming both locally and internationally. We've done a bunch of things internally to try to mitigate those that identify it and eliminate it. So we want to make sure that every tax dollar that's paid out to a fraudulent refund is captured and try to mitigate it as much as possible to loss of the general fund. The legislative requirement came out for us to seek a fraud mitigation and prevention solution. We were appropriated $3.15 million to this effort. The objective of the project is to stop fraudulent income tax returns. It's very plain and simple. And then continue to issue the valid returns that we receive in a timely manner. The scope of this was to try to bring on a solution that augmented what we are currently using or incorporate what we are currently using inside of DOR and use analytics and models, modern technology, what there are COTS solutions that are out there to take and predict and eliminate the new and evolving fraud schemes that we are seeing impact us today. We've selected the use of a commercial off-the-shelf modernized identity verification and fraud prevention solution to take and bring on that analytic capability in a secure platform, as well as we want to take and ensure the efficiency is there. And one of the requirements was speed, and therefore using modern technology, modern analytics, and integration. That was part of the technology pieces. So the we've selected and are looking at the vendor to install and maintain all the hardware, software, and data products that they need as a part of this solution with minimal impact to the Department of Revenue. This is a conceptual design diagram where we're trying to insert this fraud prevention model. Since this is the RFP is still active, it is very conceptual. The benefit of the state is to try to take and prevent fraud. Currently, our system is preventing approximately $74 million. We're used to take those business rules, translate them into using modern technology to prevent additional fraud inside of DOR. And it's in line with DOR's strategic strategy of modernizing and sustaining our core processes and trying to take and implement lean efforts. The primary risks to and mitigations that we've come up with for this project is funding for the maintenance costs for the out years and the impact to the general fund and our appropriations that we receive from the general fund. The new solution does not provide the anticipated benefits. Right now we know what we're stopping. The risk to that is if we implement this new solution and we're stopping less than what we currently have currently put in place, and as well as DOR lacking the sufficient resources to perform the necessary project tasks and inserting and getting that legacy data into the and converting it into the new system.
Can I just ask you about the previous bullet? Say again what you're telling us. The new solution for this is not providing benefits?
So that is a risk. So right now we know how much we're stopping in fraud.
You say if it doesn't.
Yes, sir.
Right. I got you.
Yes, sir.
You're not anticipating this, do you?
No.
But what could you?
This is the first time I've seen a presentation.
I wouldn't.
There's no benefit to this, but go ahead and spend it.
It is state government.
Senator Schuger, one of the things that happens sometimes is when we implement new solutions and those people that are the fraudsters find out that we've got a little bit tighter reins on things, sometimes they go to the neighbor and commit the fraud and they stop committing the fraud here. So it may reduce the amount of fraud that we stop because of that in the dollar amount.
By neighbor, you mean the next state?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's one thing we are seeing. We are in tune with those and talking to the other states we are seeing those fraud rings, you know, propagate from one side of the country to the other. And it allows, because of the communication, it allows us to update those business rules. And that was one of the things that we went and wanted as a part of our project, is to be able to dynamically update our business rules as we receive that type of intelligence from the other states and our contacts. As well as the primary piece of, I won't say primary, but one of the driving factors that we have in our core requirements is to prevent any security and privacy breaches that may take place with a hosted or on-premise solution. This is the current project milestones for the fraud prevention system. We're anticipating project closeout February of 2016 and getting everything ready for the 2016 tax filing season. This is the current fraud project projected costs that we are anticipating throughout its entire life cycle out to fiscal year 20. With the
there seems to be a large discrepancy between 200,000 and 2 million. Can you explain why that's such a, for fiscal year 17 through for operating costs, why there's such a large amount?
Since it is an open and active RFP, we would have to go to an executive session to be able to explain that in further.
It's the range.
Okay.
It's the possible range of costs between the low and the high.
Is there any sense of, you know, what kind of improvement you'll be able to achieve by this? In other words, how much more fraud you may be able to prevent by a system like this?
We don't have an exact number, if that's what you're, I guess, what you're looking for. What we're trying to do is we're going to incorporate our current business rules, which we know stop a certain amount in the dollar figure, and then apply their analytics to what we're doing.
Yeah, I mean, obviously expect that you're going to do as good as you are today and better, obviously.
Yes.
And so a lot of times as you go through these processes, I'd assume the company saying, hey, in other states we've been able to implement this technology and within a range, you know, provide this kind of an improvement. Have you heard anything like that?
Yeah,
we'd have to be careful. We're still in an RFP and confidential situation, so if you'd like to go to executive session.
Well, I don't think that's specific to any one vendor that's in the RFP. I think he's just asking you in general, when people come pitching this product, what are they telling you they've seen in those states?
It's different between the different vendors.
Well, give us a rank, give us an idea. We're talking about 2%, 100%.
So again, I think it depends from state to state. As you know, they keep moving. You know, they try one state, and then when they see that they're tight in the area, they move to a different state. But it has been sizable. It's pretty good. Some of the states, they're very happy with the results.
Is this only a forward-looking project? Once it's implemented from that year forward, we're going to go back in time and get my in-laws.
it's only as good as the data that we provide this into the system. As far as right now, it is only looking at forward into next
year. Okay, because you said you got $73 million last year.
Yes.
So you probably won't go back and rerun that information.
I can't state that because that's part of one person's solution.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
As long as you end at the R's, I'm good. If you are.
It's confidential.
Well, the fraud detection you talked, last year was awful. I mean, I never ran into someone in my own building that had people file false return to vote. That's what you're predominantly aiming at, I'm assuming. That
correct.
You're trying to get, so that's not going back, because the people who would have already notified you that when they went to file, they discovered somebody had already filed for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So going backwards isn't going to necessarily be a big value here, because you should know all of this. You're trying to prevent next year prisoners and people falsely filing like my income tax before I can file to get my refund. They just claim a refund, period.
Yes.
Fake refund.
Correct.
By the time you audit it, they're long gone.
Right.
And this, the system.
I guess what we could say is that as you get the analytics into the system and you're looking at other resources and you come up with those analytics, you can determine whether or not that's a a viable return, if it's a real return or if it's a false return, or if it's somebody else's identity. And therefore, you're going to kick those out. You can do your perception of how many of those you can determine and how quickly you can determine them is what your improvement is going to be. Does that make sense, kind of without giving away the...
Or while I'm going another way. In general, the system is trying to both validate the claimed identity of the individual and then look at the statistics of the return that they've submitted to see whether it's consistent with potentially past returns and
yes.
the behavior of the individual in the past from a tax filing perspective. So you put a risk profile on the submitted return and flag it one way or another.
Correct.
Yes. So you're not looking for individual items, like if they gave $2,500 to the Stevens Foundation, which doesn't exist, you're not looking for this project won't be looking for that. It's just if I file a return or not.
No,
so someone else filed for me.
Actually, that is a separate item that we are looking at within of the business units, those types of charities that identifying that type of people and filing correctly. That is another project that we are
continuing. Okay, so that's not this one.
That's correct.
No, but extension to kind of in the future.
Yeah, what probably would have been helpful to explain that. I mean, what's been happening is criminals, prisoners, they usually file early. So probably file.
Yeah,
so
they file early on time.
Files, right? They want to file before you file. So they file David Stevens tax return. And it doesn't even matter whether you're getting a refund in reality.
Yeah.
They just put $5,000 down.
Yeah.
You guys are very quick. The days you give it to us, the refunds come very quickly. By the time somebody says, wait a minute, that's not mine, they're still long gone.
Correct.
So you've got to try to stop them at the front door.
Correct.
Right.
And that's part of the solution that we're trying to get is to be able to bring those returns into a data set or wherever we need to be with them, bring those returns in and look at them and to determine whether or not it's a legitimate return.
See, I've often wondered why now with most people, I think, file electronically, why you're just like everybody else sending back an email to me saying, because you have my email, when you put that in when we file, why don't you send an email back saying, they received your file. Like my bank, if I make a change in password, I get a notice mm-hmm. on my email saying if you didn't go and change your password, notify. So why don't you send an email back to the filer, to their previously known email address saying, we've got your filing.
Well, according to the newspapers, not everybody has internet.
Yeah, well. almost everybody's got now email one way or the other.
Right.
But that's also not a verifiable. Well, can't be verified, right? But for this year, next year, you can change your email.
I know, but it's got to be verified.
Or your email can be compromised. That doesn't really help.
Well, I don't know.
To be honest, I don't know. We've been talking of a lot of those things inside of DOR about how we file tax or process taxes, return information back to the taxpayer. And those pieces, in my opinion, would need to be incorporated into whatever our new integrated tax system would be in the out years to be able to provide that functionality and that capability. Because that's something we would have to take a look at from a feasibility standpoint. Can we easily do something like that? That function and feature wasn't looked at for this project. We were looking at a lot of analytical things, looking at some of how our business processes and our business rules, how we've stopped fraud in the past and trying to apply new technology to that piece of it.
Well, to that point, like when you're filing for financial aid at the university, mm-hmm. the FAFSA, when it is,
yep.
my kids, you have to get a PIN number.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
now that you are,
yep.
then you use that to get your return back.
Yes, sir.
Correct.
I mean, that's a good preamble.
Yeah. It is. There is. We're looking right now inside a DOR to, at least I am, driving the forward effort to look at replacing our current tax system, to take and bring some of those functionalities and features, we're discussing, but to take and say that this project to bring that into the system, and look at integrating it with our. What I'll call an antiquated legacy tax system that we have that is we're already having a lot of difficulty modifying would exponentially increase the cost of what we're doing.
Now, is this problem specifically only for individual returns? You have this fraud problem with corporation returns?
Currently, that's what the solution will be for, is individual income tax returns.
Because I know a guy
who's
going to run a bill this year to eliminate the income tax, and this may all just go away. I don't think it passes. But we're kind of crazy over there when it comes to that, so be prepared for that bill to drop. I like the PIN number kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh,
question.
Yeah.
For the operating costs, how much are you currently spending on your fraud prevention? I wanted to see how that relates to like the range you've provided for a new system.
It's not necessarily a new system. It's an enhancement to the current that you have. So it wouldn't be new per se, completely new, because you're still using some of the logic and some of the business rules that we currently have in place today. You'll still be using those. So
so you don't move the business rules over to a new system. You're using both.
You could, but I can't really go into the detail of that because we're under an RFP. our current, Robert, sorry, do you know what your current cost is?
I think it's about $240,000.
$240,000 a year.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, that's Robert Bray from the Department of Revenue.
We need to see some ID.
Or
Mr. Penn.
Well, the numbers you presented, the range was like 200 to 2 million or something. Are you saying that's on top of what you're currently spending? Or if, let's say you selected the 200,000 vendor, would that be, would just be absorbed by the current 250, or is it on top of what you're already spending?
This would be on top of what we're currently spending.
So no matter whether it's a 200 or the high range, it's in addition to what you're spending, it's not something that's going to be absorbed by what you're already spending.
Absolutely.
So, or just to say, play back in the other way, none of the 240 you're spending annually is going to be offset by spending this. It's all going to be incremental.
That's correct. Okay. So if you disapprove this today, we're still going to spend the 250,000 or 240,000.
Sometimes it doesn't flesh out that way.
Yeah. Well, no, it's also a good thing to understand whether any eventuality of the selection in the RFP process, if it replaces or offsets half of the 240, that can be factored in to just understand the overall cost of the system.
Just an odd question, but out of the fraud cases you found last year, what was the percentage of electronic file to paper file? Do you know that?
Robert, do you know that?
I'm not sure. I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, I'm back in the corner here, and I apologize for that. I think there was approximately 80% were electronic filings and 20% paper.
Jonathan, question about the requirements in the RFP. Did they include any integration with law enforcement or communication to law enforcement, or was it limited to denial of the refund and allow the fraudsters to continue trying until they strike gold?
Robert, you can speak to that, how you handle it. Robert, I think you need to come up to the table.
Because of the disclosure, we have a pretty limited ability to share information from tax returns outside of our agency. We have been so inundated with fraudulent returns, we had to look at 75,000 returns last year, stopping $71.2 million. And there's only four of us. So our time is spent stopping the refunds, and then when large rings, and a lot of these rings are from overseas, a lot of these rings are in other, in New York City and other areas, and we've worked with the federal government before, we've identified some things, we've worked with the FBI and groups like that, Homeland Security, because a lot of these are naturally, if they're all coming from a certain country, we stop them all right away because there's no reason for that to happen unless you've gotten an email from someone asking to participate in some type of function like you may get all the time in your spam emails. But so a lot of our
information is held confidential. We have to be very, very careful. We don't disclose taxpayers' information outside the agency. Thank you.
Any additional questions? Mr. Chairman, at this time, we'd like to review the conditions which ADOA asset has proposed to be applied to this bid approval. Upon award, the Arizona Department of Revenue must notify ADOA asset and the Information Technology Authorization Committee via a formal communication regarding the identity of the selected vendor and the final proposed costs. Condition number two, the Arizona Department of Revenue will work with ADOA asset security, privacy, and risk to ensure the appropriate security controls are in place in regards to the approved solution in order to protect state data. And condition number three, should there be a change in the proposed cost of 10% or more, the Arizona Department of Revenue must amend the PIDGE to reflect the changes and present it to ITAC if required for review and approval prior to further expenditure of funds.
Any questions or discussion about the conditions as stated? If not, then Chair will entertain a motion to do something with this.
Chair, I move the project be approved with the condition presented.
Second.
Wait a second. All right. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Motion carried.
Mr. Chairman, just a comment. You know, it's, we have a legislator here, so well, it seems to me if there is a problem with the state statutes about sharing information with law enforcement, that should be fixed. You know, we have a fusion center here that coordinates all the law enforcement at the federal and state level in Northwest Phoenix, and there should be some logical way when you're, because what's happened is these guys are sitting in their houses doing 10, 12 of these a day. And it's more lucrative now than drug dealing. So we should have some way of feeding this to the law enforcement in a way that they could go after, particularly in the international and national rate. So if that's an obstacle, I'd hope maybe Representative Stevens would look at this.
It is so funny that you brought that up because I actually got some legislation to address some of that. But I would like to hear what you on some more specific language. Yes.
So I can read my mind, get out of my head.
That's good. Okay, any other items you want to raise for discussion? Okay. And now we'll call the session closed.
Mr. Chairman, I see my timing was incredible. I do apologize. I mentioned the staff I wouldn't be able to make it, but I was at across the street in a meeting at the State Courts building, and that meeting just ended, so I came over. Sorry.
Just in time.
Okay. Thank you very much. I mean, I love what they're doing.